on to Prendeville now.
0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Text 0868 104 106. The Neil Prendeville Show. Back to the phone lines we go, revisiting a topic of conversation yesterday. Jackie Toomey joins me by phone. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking the call. And can I just say, before we start, it was very courageous of you yesterday to answer the questions of the media and the press. It's a very brave and courageous thing to do, because I imagine to some extent you end up reliving much of the nightmare. Jackie, were you happy with the sentence, 9 years, 1 year suspended?
Yes, because I was dreading that it was going to be less, and I was saying, even if it's 8, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the DPP, when bringing the case, had said that what he did to you, Noel Toomey, was at the higher end, anywhere between 10 and 15 years. What is he now, 64?
He's 65.
65. So could he be out perhaps at 70, 71?
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be dead. Sorry.
Yeah. Listen, you're entitled to feel whatever way you want, girl. I mean, you were quoted by saying you hope that he rots in jail. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And what a relief, I suppose, this week as well, because you were over 2 years waiting for the court case, the guilty verdict and sentencing, right?
And so many times going, thinking it was going to happen, and it didn't happen. Walking out in disgust every time.
Yeah. That's kind of continuing the pain, the torture. And the nightmare. Are you having trouble sleeping now?
Yes, all the time. I'm doing a trick. Like we say, I say C, and then I try and think of all the things beginning with C, and I start, you know, like cat, cow, everything, anything beginning with C until I drop off.
And that works for you, so, like, you know, counting sheep would work for other people?
Yeah, that's the only, I saw some months ago, and I started doing it just to try and sleep, and it's working. Because otherwise he's in my brain, otherwise.
I hope there will be a time when he won't be in your brain and you're not reliving it. You had enough damage done to your body and your brain as it is. You're lucky to be alive. I mean, the pain that you went through even in the CUH is unbearable to think of, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was the burns was the worst. The burns were so painful.
Do you know what?
My head was just numb. But the burns, they were so, so painful.
I can't get over the fact that you couldn't defend yourself. It was the most cowardly attack on anybody in the home where they should feel safe. You were asleep.
He's a coward.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it to me when I'm standing in front of him.
Yeah.
Because he's a coward.
And do you mind me asking, are you comfortable talking about the events that led up to it? You
know, I am.
I got the impression from reading the different court reports that you were actually breaking away. You were taking back your independence and taking back control. I got the feeling that he wasn't terribly happy with that.
Oh, no, he wasn't happy. That's why he done it. He's like one of those people, if I can't have her attention all the time or 24 hours a day, then nobody else can.
Oh, total, a perfect example, of course, of control and narcissistic behaviour. You understand all of these words now, of course you do.
Oh, I'm learning those words.
Yeah, because you've had to go through it.
Yeah.
And tell me, what do you recall of the event?
I came home from a night out with my sister and my brother. My brother was after having 3 strokes, so myself and my sister take him out every Sunday. Because we're close. And I came home about 3:05. That's the time I'd normally come home. We dropped my brother home, my sister home, then I'm last. I had a cigarette on my rocking chair outside, used the bathroom, got into my pyjamas, went into bed, and my fan wouldn't work. And I asked him, I got up and I said, I was knowing my fan isn't working, can I borrow yours and I get a new one during the week? And he got up and he plugged the fan into me and I went to sleep. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up screaming with the most horrific pain. I was screaming like a banshee. And I think I got hit in, while I was in bed as well, because it was so fast, because there was blood all over my bed. And then I got hit another 3 times trying to get out of the bedroom.
Give Me Now, of course, that started with the pot of boiling water that he went down and premeditatedly went down and boiled that pot of boiling water. Did he have to go to a shed and plan to pick up the claw hammer there?
No, we're downstairs, we're a ground floor flat, and we've got a big long walk-in storage area, and it was in there. I mean, I didn't even think he knew there was a hammer in there, because the man is useless at doing anything, so...
But there it was, nonetheless.
There was two hammers in there.
So you're woken from your sleep.
Yeah.
Not being able to defend yourself, of course, after the boiling water and the claw hammer attack to the head. You have no idea what's going on except excruciating pain. Is he standing you over? Is he standing over you or what?
I was asleep and there's just the water, just the shock of the hot water hitting me, and the blows to my head, and then trying to get out of the room, I got out and I got to my front door open and I stopped there once I hit the porch, and I stopped to go back in to my son, and he just walked out past me. I walked out the gate and I was at the closing the door. He didn't utter one word, not one word during it.
Good God. He was eventually flagged down a Garda car somewhere up. I don't know. Was
that was probably a car coming up to help me, because my phone, I had facial recognition on my phone and my phone wouldn't work because it couldn't recognize my face. It was so bad.
Oh my God.
So my son, 16 at the time, had to get the help for me. Guards, ambulance, ring his brother and sister. So.
And what were, I mean, you were together 43 years, of which 40 were years of marriage. What were those decades, what were those years like?
Oh, God. Nightmare. Walking on eggshells all the time, waiting for him to start. Waiting for a good day. Waiting then for about 3 days after that, there might be three bad days. Don't know what kind of humour he's going to be in. If he'd speak to you one day, talk to you the next day. When he wants something, he'll talk to you.
So you never actually...
That's really bad, really bad. Since 2019, 2020, it got worse after that. I was watching him every night, because he'd get up into the bathroom a lot of times at night, and I'd watch him make sure that he goes back into bed without doing anything to me.
So even in those years previous, you were in fear of your life?
Yes.
I think you said you were terrified of him.
It was a matter of when.
Did you talk to anybody about it? Was any of your family or friends, were you very close? You're very close to your family. Were they aware of his behaviour?
No, because he isolated me from them for years. It was only since I moved back up to the north side that I started to take control. Because I was back in my own area near my sister.
He didn't like that. So, he didn't like you taking back control.
No.
And what about the early years, though? Because you clearly must have fallen in love with a different person, did you?
Oh, he was very charming at start. He'd collect me in a taxi and bring me chocolates and roses and, you know, and then I moved in with him a week before my 18th birthday. I had a baby girl a week before my 19th birthday. So, and we got married in the January. And... I mean, like, I was 17.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah. This charming man who bombed you with flowers and chocolates and everything. And did it start to turn then quickly?
The first time he put his hands around my neck, I was after losing a change, he'd have to give it to me. He must have fallen off on a night out, and I missed it, and he put his hands around my neck. That was the first time he put his hands on me. He split me with a bottle once inside an jury's hotel in front of everybody. My daughter was 16 then, she's 40 now.
And then there was more control, you're saying, where the isolation began. Yes. Did you say he wasn't happy or
comfortable? My isolation began in the very start.
In what way? Not being allowed to see friends, is it? Having to let him know where you were?
I had no friends. I'd go up to visit my mother once a week. And my oldest fell off the chair one night when I was up there, and it was my fault because I wasn't there.
Would there be violence then?
Yeah, I remember my niece had she was being christened, and I actually went out on that night. That was a family night. I went out on that, and when I got home, he beat the living daylights out of me. because he didn't want me out there that night with my family. He didn't want me anywhere. So I used to keep away from my family because I knew what I'd get when I got home.
But what about the injuries or the bruising or the damage that he did to you from beatings? Would people notice it or would you just hide at home?
Oh, I've often turned off to school with black eyes.
And would people just ignore that and not ask you why or anything?
I suppose people didn't want to ask. Yeah. Didn't want to be interfering. That was back in, I remember going to school, I thought it was about 30-odd years ago, would have been 36 years ago. Black eyes.
I mean, that's so sad for so much of your life to be living in fear like that, or as you say, walking on eggshells.
My left ear, if the wind goes into my left ear, it hurts a lot because I got a box in my ear once, so I can't have the cold going into it.
And
that still affects me as well.
And you know, after these vicious, violent assaults upon you by this abusive, evil brute of a man, would he be apologetic after it?
Yeah, you know I love you. I'm so sorry it won't happen again. You know I love you. We're married. It's better for worse and all this stuff.
Okay, there was all of that old stuff. And then was there also, you made me do it. It was your fault. If you hadn't done this, then the
fault.
Other. Yeah, everything was your fault.
As I always say, if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, it's my fault.
Yeah. Did you ever start to believe that? That kind of control can lead somebody to believing that.
Yeah, he would. He would. When it's been drummed into you for 50 years, you're thinking it's you.
Oh, it's such a wonderful thing that's all behind you.
He'd call me a whore, and he'd look up and down at me. Do you know, I put on a dress a couple of years ago, and it was my first time wearing a dress in 36 or 37 years, and he looked up and down at me. Do you know, who do you think you are, Marilyn Monroe?
He really knew, I have to say, he really knew how to hurt you both physically and emotionally, didn't he? Very much.
And he would take my money out of my purse if I had my money to go out on a Sunday. I remember I forgot to get something from them, my sister sitting room, and I came in to get it, and he was in my bag taking money out of it.
Do you work at all?
Him work, no.
Never.
Why would he work when he was getting money off? No. He was like, I just wonder what's the job for when I'm getting money. He's one of those people that don't believe in work once everything is handed to him. I worked. I cleaned houses for years. The minute I got a car, I put up notices for cleaning houses, and I had 10 houses a week and an office over the weekend. I worked until I couldn't anymore.
Just to keep a roof over the heads of your family, food on the table.
To be able to get stuff if I wanted to take away, or if we wanted a night out to do it, and we had nights out because I worked.
Or grocery shopping, or a bill to be paid.
Yeah.
He sits back and does absolutely nothing and you do all the heavy lifting.
I just come home with €100 cash every day. So we were able to go 3 nights a week. We'd go to Clancy's, we'd go to Flaherty's, we'd go Friday nights or Saturday nights, we'd go 3 nights a week. Until I couldn't walk anymore because I've a lot of health issues myself.
I can imagine you work so hard. Would you describe him as having been, say, for instance, a street angel and a house devil? If I were to have met the two of you out now,
A neighbour said to me down the road, God, I'd never thought, no, he was like that. I always thought you were a happy couple. I mean, if I'm talking to people, what are you talking to them for?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm a people person. If anyone knows me, I'm a people person. I'm a social person.
Yeah.
I like meeting people.
Yeah.
I love meeting people.
And
he's antisocial.
It's all an act for him in public, but you got the real him in private, and you paid the ultimate price, of course. He's a coward, you know that?
Oh, he's a coward. I mean, one night when he wasn't with me, because I preferred to go with my own, because he'd like, he'd sit there all night, he wouldn't talk to people, pure ignorance, you know? He'd just stare at people coming in and out. And then one night when I was out, he was down around the corner watching us from the street. Myself and my sister, when we'd go for a cigarette, it'd be down watching us.
Good God Almighty, the nightmares. You never actually knew what potentially was going to happen next. You were planning to break away, though, weren't you? You were planning to start a new life.
I just wanted one night a week out with my family. That's all I wanted. And that's what I'm doing still.
I don't know, were you planning to leave him, divorce him?
No, I was just literally waiting for him to die.
Okay.
Literally waiting for him to die, because he's got a lot of illnesses as well.
All he said, I'm told in court, was, I had a domestic with my wife. That's all I had. This is my first time in court. So he doesn't even...
I didn't kill anyone. It was a domestic. He must have had a domestic by himself because I was asleep.
But, like, he doesn't even seem to grasp the seriousness of what he did.
No.
You know...
He never does. He never... He's impulse. He does stuff without thinking. He'll just do it. He thinks he'd get away with anything. He's one of those people that get away with anything.
And also, in court, there was some kind of a... I don't know, some kind of an apology or a letter of apology or I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What do you make of... Do you find that insulting or what?
Yeah, it was. I think you wrote it about a year and a half ago. I never seen it. I never heard about it happen yesterday myself. Sorry what he done. He's not sorry. The man is not sorry. He's planned things. He's never sorry for anything. He'll be sorry if he thinks he'll get his way. That's the only way he'll be sorry. I'll say I'm sorry and I'll go home.
But you're a child. A child would hardly behave like that. Never mind a grown man. Saying I'm sorry and hopefully you'll get a slap on the hand.
That's what people go... When the people go to court, I'm sorry. Lighter sentence.
Lighter sentence. Reduces the sentence. Mm-hmm. And it usually does, actually, to be quite honest with you.
Yes, it does. So, I've been in court now so long over the last 2 years. I've seen people walk out when they're in college. Oh, and my mother is this, my mother has cancer, and my disabled child, and this.
Well,
you know,
he's lucky he didn't get a longer sentence for saying, I killed nobody, it was just a domestic with my wife.
Yeah.
It's a wonder that he didn't get the full 15 years for that alone.
I mean, like, how could it be a domestic when I was in bed asleep for over 2 hours, and I was after coming home? Literally at 3:05, and I was in bed and all by 3:10. How could that be a domestic?
Boiling
when
water.
When I came home on a Sunday night, I would go to bed straight away.
Yeah, yeah. What was the recovery in the CUH like? Was it long, slow, and torturous?
Yeah, I was down in the accident and emergency. I'm not sure how many days, and then they moved me to a smaller room, and then they moved me in upstairs, and I was in a room on my own, way down the back of the corridor. And any time I heard a door banging outside, I literally jump with fright. But now the staff up there were very good. They put towels and stuff over the doors so I wouldn't hear them closing. And I begged them to go back down to D&E. I didn't want to be there on my own.
You wanted
I just
to
wanted
be around
to be around
people.
Where people, where yeah. I was safe.
But how are you coping with the trauma and the PTSD afterwards?
I'm just taking one day at a time. Just take them one day at a time. It's with me every night when I go to bed. That's why I'm doing that thing to go to sleep. So something else is in my brain.
You have your own little mantra, And do you? I know that there's an order against him to stay away from you when he comes out of prison, if he comes out of prison.
Yeah, for 12 years.
For 12 years. How do you feel about that if he were to breach that?
I'm just hoping he won't ever come out of there. I'm looking forward for him to... No matter how it's done.
But even if he does, now everybody knows the real Noel Toomey, and your friends and family will be keeping a very close watch on you.
All the people, all my neighbours up here, they're all looking out for me. They're all very good. All the youngsters hanging around, they're all like, if he gets out, you let us know. And he won't be near entering Knocknaheeny.
And finally, is it like there's a weight off your shoulders to some extent that you can now get on with your life, your new life, your happier life?
The weight was taken off when he actually went into prison, but it's finally off now that I've got a sentence. I can try to leave it go now. I can finally start to leave it go now.
And start to live a happier life.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish you all of the very best with that. You deserve it. So what's important now is you... Your life, your happiness, and those of your family and your friends. That's what's important now. Enjoy life.
I'm just so happy I'm able to go to once a week with my sister and my brother.
Well, you enjoy every minute.
I take the rest of the week to recover with pain and stuff like that, so I can just do it again next Sunday.
Keep doing
and
that.
And I'm happy with that. I'm happy that way.
Well, stay happy. And thanks so much for chatting with us, Jackie.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Take care of yourself.
Prendeville Show on Red FM.
With Elevate Credit Union in Douglas, Glanmire, Passage West and Grange, where members matter.